Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16 tonight. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. There's a New Testament verse that somewhat mirrors that when Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks, but ye would not. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight, walking in the good way. Walking in the good way. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to once again preach in this great church, this church that means so much to me and my family. I thank you for the faithfulness of the Ross family down through the years. I thank you that my wife learned here to model Christianity. She learned from Brother Ross and his ministry, and Mrs. Ross, that she learned from Brother and Mrs. Gordon, and so many folks in this church. I could just start naming name after name after name has had influence on her life, and I know that I've got a precious jewel as a result of the ministry of this church, and I owe this church a great debt that I could never repay. And Lord, I pray tonight that as we've gathered here for this second night of revival, that again, you would help me. Lord, I meant every word I've said. That message was a blessing to me, and I would not be presumptuous to think that I could even come close to topping that. We're not in this in a competition. But I pray you'd help me to be a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You've heard the old adage, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? You've heard that. Here, God tells us to ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein. And I think about that a little bit, and the command of the Lord here, what he tells us to do, to walk in the good way. What does that mean, to walk in the good way? It means to walk in the well-worn path. You understand what I'm saying? Tonight, you came into church, and basically you had three options, didn't you? You could come down that aisle, you could come down that aisle, or you could come down this aisle. And it's a lot simpler, fellas. Now, I know you got to, these guys are linebackers. I lined them up earlier and I turned them around and I faced them toward the people when you all weren't paying attention. I said, all right, now you guys protect me, okay? And they said they would. So I'm going to hold you to it. And but as fun as it might seem to be, I promise you guys, it's a lot harder to walk where these pews are placed than it is just to go ahead and walk in the good way that's already been established. You know, and I was thinking as I was sitting there for a few minutes ago, and I was thinking about your altar here, and I was thinking about the walls here, and I was thinking about that path there, and I was wondering how many people in the 40-plus years, how many years has it been this church has been here?
40 in May.
40 years this church has been here. How many people have walked these aisles and have professed faith in Christ, perhaps at this altar or at a side room? I've wondered how many people have walked these aisles and brought a burden to the Lord and brought it to His feet and laid it there at the altar. And I've wondered how many folks have walked into this pulpit maybe and sang a special, or how many preachers over the years that have been blessed to be able to speak behind this pulpit. And I thought about these walls and, my, what if these walls could talk, the sermons that we could hear. We wouldn't need to load them up on the internet. We could just plug into the wall maybe and hear those sermons, you know. And I thought about those things, and I'd like to say this tonight to the young people especially, as children of the living God, the Lord has commanded us to seek out the old paths. Now just relax. Stay balanced. Relax. And stay focused on what I'm about to say, all right? But sometimes, all right, are y'all going to behave tonight? Because if you're not, we're not ever going to get out of here. But sometimes we hear the word old And immediately they're like, you know, brother, you showed me that phone earlier. That's ridiculous. That's the size of an iPad, man. What are you doing? I remember when cell phones first came out, they were big. Talk about a flip phone, man. You had to pull up the antenna, you know, flip that thing, and you wear it on your hip, you know, and it was like, but I got me a cell phone, man. I'm important, right? And we kind of laughed at that, and now, you know, we live by that. And remember, they got small, and now they're getting big again, you know. And it's like, this is just dumb. I mean, we're following the dictates of some fella over here, oh, he's doing that, oh, you know. And he's saying, I know how to make them spend money. That's what he's saying. And we're like, yeah, I need one of them, man. You know, I got to have one because nobody else in my church has got one, you know. I mean, come on, man. I am guilty. I got an iPhone. I'm guilty. I got the 4. They're like, you're going to get the 5. And I'm like, no. Doesn't mean I don't want it. But I'm going to get it? No. Not until I'm justified anyway. But sometimes we hear, stay in the old path, stay with the old King James, stay with the old fashion, and sometimes to young ears, that sounds a little bit, no, I don't want to do that. I want to have some adventure. I want to live life. You know, I want to go forward. I want to do something. Ah, let's see what the next best thing is. Let's see what's over the next hill, so to speak. And we think, I don't know. You follow me? Well, the old time religion? Man, I'm kind of curious about that new time religion. In my town, there's hardly anybody that's singing out of the old hymn books. And I just want to clarify something, and please, I'm not being critical, but the blood's still there, okay? I'm not being critical. I think that was just kind of a miscue there, but we're so unique now because we sing out of the songbook and we still elevate preaching that if we'll stick with it, I think we might even grow in the midst of these difficult times in which we're in. Because that rubber stamp religion is out there that's everything's new. Y'all come, you know, and it is really kind of silly. Ian, you and I were in a meeting just the other day, and I agreed to preach at a church I've never preached at before. And I was like, you know, okay, I'll help you out. The preacher asked if I would, and I said I would. And man, I got myself in one of those situations. And the fellow gets up to sing this song, and I'm not being critical. I'm not. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be critical. But he wanted to sing the new music, and he was doing his thing, you know, and I'm going, it's such a cheap imitation. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to do a cheap imitation? If that's what we're going to do, then let's just go to the rock concert and just, you know, go all out, whatever, you know? And you know I'm not for that, but I was just, what's wrong with the old black book? Give me that old-time religion, because it's that old-time religion that saves us from our sins and will give us the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth. You know, it's the way forward in that respect would be the way back, and that's not a reflection toward what he said, but it is, you know, we think, well, it's old, so maybe it's not really, maybe we could try something new. And every generation has had to wrestle with that. Every generation had to wrestle with that. By the way, brother, you just gave me my Sunday morning sermon. Thank you. I don't have to study. It's great. And I'm gonna preach every point, and I'm not going to give him an ounce of credit. And Ian's not going to be there on there to tell me on me, so it doesn't matter. You didn't drink out of this, right? You know. Now, you know, now I was determined that I was going to be super serious tonight, you know. I really was. And here, it's not happening the way I'd hoped. But, you know, walking in the good way, the well-worn way. In our area in Kentucky, you know that, and you guys give Kentuckians a hard time. You do. You do. And it's not right. I got two words for you. I got two words for you. National champions. That, and I'm not going to say anything else, but I've listened to Bobby Ross all these years. IU. Listen to all that, you know, and I don't want to hear any more about it. But you understand that you wouldn't have Indiana if it wasn't for Kentucky. You do understand that, right? Am I right?
That's true.
Because Daniel Boone did not open the trace to the Wabash. He opened the trace to the Cumberland Gap. And Kentucky came before Indiana. I'm right. And you can rewrite history all you want, but I am not into this revisionist stuff, all right? I still believe George Washington was the first president of the United States, and I'm not changing, all right? But here's what he did. Actually, John Herod was probably the first one in Kentucky, but Daniel Boone is given that recognition. Now, he brought those settlers across the Cumberland Gap, and he hacked his way through the forest and cut down the trees, and they wore that path. Are you with me? And the area that I used to pastor in was called Wilderness Trace. And because people had gone over those traces over and over and over and over again, the ground got hard. And as they brought those wagons across, can you imagine how difficult it was to travel from Kentucky to Indiana back before there were automobiles, back before there were established roads? And those wagon wheels, you know, made that road hard. And then later on, in more modern times, we put some concrete down. Or we put some asphalt down. And now we get on Highway 54 or 59 or Interstate 65 or whatever. But, it, you know, I know you guys just, you know, you were born and, oh, look at all these interstates. You know, oh, this is great. Cities and towns and all these things. And it's always been like this. No, it hasn't. Okay? And somebody had to build it. Somebody had to gather out the stones, you know, cut down the trees and move, remove the brush and put the signpost up and to go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it again so that you and I could safely travel today down the road. That's what he's saying. He's saying, seek out the good way, the well-worn way, the path that has been trodden time and time and time again. And there's a good reason for that, because if you veer off the path, then you're more apt to fall into a ditch, a ravine. You ever driven down some of those Kentucky roads? I mean, you're going, have they ever thought about guardrails around here? Because if I go off, I'm gone forever and ever. Not even the turtle man will find me, I'm telling you. I left Danville 7 years too early, man. That's the area he's from, and I would have loved to have witnessed to that guy, you know. Brother Barnes has met him, and Brother Barnes has never been the same. But that's what happens, and it reminds me of, we were out one time at a men's camp out, and there was a section of woods there, and there were paths along and throughout the section of woods, and the pastor that was hosting this particular activity said, no, after, you know, the sun goes down, guys, we're gonna hike the paths, you know, and we got some flashlights here. And so a fellow by the name of Steve was with me, and he had a little boy named Tyler, and he had a flashlight, and they were walking along and making their way through the path, and as long as you walked in the light, then you could see where you were going and you could find the path because it was easy to be found. But the little boy kept Tyler kept pulling away from his daddy, and he wanted to run ahead, and he kind of, you know, wanted to forsake the old path and explore what was over here or what was over there. And brother, sister, it didn't take but about 60 seconds for him to find briars over here and rocks over here that cut up his shins and a little ravine to fall in over there, all because he knew better than daddy knew, and he refused to walk in the good way. He refused to allow the light to light his path, and as a result, he stumbled, and it wasn't very long, Brother David, we heard, and we had to run to his aid, and we had to dig him out of the briars, and we had to pull the thorns out of his flesh, and we had to bandage him up, clean him up, bandage him up, and tell him it's going to be okay. All of that could have been avoided if he simply would have stayed in the good way. So for just a few moments tonight, and again, I know what time it is, and I'm a pastor, and I understand that, and I'm not going to keep you long. I appreciate you listening to me. But let's talk about the paths that God wants us to walk in. Can you go to Isaiah? It's one book back. Isaiah chapter 50, in verse number 11. This goes real well with that verse that you're very well acquainted with in 1 John 1:7, walk in the light as He is in the light. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah 50, verse number 11, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. Walk in the light of your fire. Brother Parker put it pretty well. Let me put it a different way. You can't walk in the light of your pastor's fire. You can't walk in the light of your dad's fire or your mom's fire. You can't walk in the light of your youth pastor's fire or your school principal's fire. You cannot walk in the light of another preacher that you respect's fire. You must walk in the light of your fire. And that fire comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, in which the Holy Spirit of God is able to shine forth brightly from within. Walk in the light of your fire. You need to be personally saved. You need to be born again. You also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God for yourself. Now, we got a goodly heritage. The lines are falling to us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. Your dad, my dad, standard bearers. Okay? Set the bar pretty high. A lot to live up to. But I can't walk in the light of my dad's fire. You can't walk in the light of yours. Every individual has to make that decision tonight to choose to walk in the light as He is in the light. And when we do that, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, ladies and gentlemen. Walking in the light, not in the darkness, but in the day, not in the night. John 11, 9 and 10. Going to church, reading the Bible, running with the right crowd, being a balanced Christian, tithing, serving, witnessing, avoiding the dark alleyways of this old world. You say, well, where will you find that darkness? Anywhere there's an absence of light. Anywhere there's an absence of light. In other words, if Jesus isn't welcome there, keep away. Jesus isn't welcome in the tavern, so keep away. Jesus isn't welcome in the bingo hall, so I ain't going there. Jesus isn't welcome at the movie house, so I'm not going to be there. He's not welcome in the universities these days, whether it's UK or whatever. He's not welcome there, so I'm not going to spend time there. I'm going to watch a couple ball games, but other than that... Hey, but listen, Jesus is not going to be a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres show. So I ain't going to watch it. She ain't nothing but a Philistine anyway. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to walk the places where my Savior's welcome. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, my Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, when I choose to walk with Jesus, I don't have any problem finding the path that He wants me to take. Yeah. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And they're good paths. It's the good way. It's the proven way. It's the King's highway, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just give you some references quickly. Romans 8, 1 through 4, Galatians 5, 16, verse number 25, walk in the Spirit. Very similar to walking in the light. Walking in the same path that the Holy Spirit would trod. The Bible says that straight and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You know, everyone has two choices to make. We come to the crossroads in our lives. And you know what? You might come to that crossroad when you're 15 years old. You might not come to that crossroad until you're 43 years old or 72. I don't know exactly. But as you journey along in the path of your life that God has ordered for your steps to go in, there will be a fork in the road. And you'll have to make a decision. And if you walk to that fork in the road all the way with the Lord, and you don't deviate from walking with Him, you're not going to have a difficulty choosing the right path. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because the Holy Spirit will go with you. He'll not forsake you. He will guide you. He will guide you. He wants to guide you. He desires to guide you. And He's not silent tonight unless we've quenched the light. You remember those old, Dad called them coal oil lamps. Later on, we called them kerosene lamps. And you turn up that light, you know, if you turn it up, and you could black out that that chimney. Black the chimney. It had bricks. It kind of looked like this glass, actually, just a little bit different shape. And you black it out, and the light would burn dim, and you couldn't see as well unless you went in there and you cleaned that thing out. That's why, and I appreciate what Brother Riker said last night, you know, it is a matter of being clean on the inside and on the outside. Absolutely. Absolutely. So walking in the Spirit, we have a choice. You know, we can walk up that narrow way, and, you know, it's a little bit harder, and it takes more time, and it's uphill. Very few choose that path. Most go the broad way because it's easy, and it's wide, and it's downhill, and anybody can walk down that path. But it takes courage and resolve and determination to walk the straight and narrow road, which is the old path. But can I tell you something? The view from the top is out of this world. Not that we ever reach the pinnacle of success or whatever. Not like we're on top of the world. I'm saying when you get to the top of the path, as the Holy Spirit of God has been leading you, as you've been walking in that good and well-worn way where others have tried, and that's the benefit we have tonight, others have trod before us. We don't have to be Daniel Boone. When you get there, it's well worth the journey. The spiritual pathway leads to life and life everlasting. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 15, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, walk circumspectly. Now, I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, a Bible scholar, but I can figure out without a whole lot of effort what it means to walk circumspectly. I'm walking circumspectly. In other words, I'm walking around this pulpit furniture here, and I'm inspecting it as I go. Are you with me? Walking circumspectly. This is the idea. You step out, and you walk around your life and inspect. You do that on a regular basis. That's walking circumspectly. You say, well, you're walking around in circles. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. Because when you walk circumspectly, sometimes we have to do this, preachers. We have to step back from our ministries. We have to walk around them. Because we're in the midst of them, and we're working and serving and going, and we get unbalanced, and it's a constant check. Being in balance is a constant check. It's just like driving down the road. It's a constant balancing act. Constantly. You don't just point your car north and end up north, you know. I don't know that there's one single road in the world that goes exactly north 100% of the time. You make constant corrections up and over the hills and as you go. And it's that thing of walking around your life and making those corrections. And if you'll make the little corrections as you go, then you'll not have a wreck later on. I like what you said about balanced people don't fall. Man, that's good. That's good. Number three, walk in the statutes of life. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 15. Walk in the statutes of life. We got time to read that one, don't we? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 33. Verse number 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed. And then he makes a statement. Walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity. He shall surely live. He shall not die. That's an amazing verse to me. God tells the wicked, the unsaved, that if they will abide by the statutes of the Word of God, they'll have a better life on earth. That God will not rain down His judgment on their life on earth. That's the unsaved people. So if they can do that, verse 16, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him, because he hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Now, I know that I'm pulling this verse somewhat out of its context, but I'm not misappropriating this verse. Walking in the statutes of life, a statute is a law. We have statutes that are on the law books as we speak. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to keep those laws as Christians. The laws that govern our land that do not violate the clear conscience of the Word of God. And the whole, I understand that God's law is higher than man's law. And when man's law interferes with God's law, we have a responsibility to obey God's law. I understand that. But the Bible does say, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. That means driving down the road, it says 55, it means 55. Now, I think it's stupid. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Mom. All you moms, I didn't mean to mess you up there. I think it's I think it's dumb. I think it's crazy. I think it's silly. Who in their right mind would put a speed limit of 55 on Highway 41? That's crazy. Anybody knows you can drive just as safe at 65 and 70 and 80. And if you're a good driver like I am, 90, 95, 105, it's not an issue. My speedometer goes to 160. I mean, come on. Listen, God gave me the ability and He enables me, you know, and He gives me the opportunity. But we violate that statute because our government, whether it's federal, state, or local, decided that that was an appropriate speed for that stretch of highway or wherever it is. Man, I came through High Mara. I'm paying attention to that stuff, man. You say, you sound like a man with experience. Okay, let's keep going on. But a statute's a law. Here's another word for a statute, moral code. Moral code. We cannot violate the moral code without paying the price, ladies and gentlemen. That's just basic Bible. Another word for statute is principle. Value, commandment, proven way. I found that one. I'm like, wow, that's what that means. Statute means proven way. That fits in with my sermon. So when we walk in the statutes of the Lord, the Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So when those lights go off behind us and we're in the path and we're driving according to the statute, our hearts don't go, right? I mean, I know there's that little bit anyway because, you know, yeah, come on. But when you're being conscious of it, when you're paying attention, you got your cruise set and you're not cheating, you got it set just right and you're going along, then you don't have to worry about it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, Bob Jones Sr. said, do right, if the stars fall, just do right. You know, if we could just get that across, do right, keep on. A statute is also a law regarding marriage. Man and woman, we understand that one man and one woman constitutes a marriage. And that's a statute in our nation. It always has been. You know, we've got a man in our town that's running for office, and man, he got written up really bad because he would not rent to people who were cohabitating together. He said, I'm a Christian. This is my house. And he said, I can choose who I rent to. And they wrote him up, and I thought, my soul, he's going to bend. He didn't bend. He ran for office. I said, Mr. Barron, I'm for you. I'm for you, living according to your principles, the statutes. Would to God we had some legislators that would walk in the statutes of life and keep this country free and protect the morality of America, ladies and gentlemen. Would to God we had some moms and dads that would walk in the statutes of God's law in front of their children at home. Would to God that they would set the right example. Would to God we had some young people that would stand up and say, I'll not walk in the new paths of promiscuity and the new paths of impurity. I'm going to walk in the old paths. I'm going to keep the old rules. I'm going to get the promise ring. I'm going to follow through and walk in the old paths. Wherein is the good way? It was good enough for mama. It was good enough for daddy. It was good enough for our fathers. And it's good enough for me. Nehemiah 5:9 says that he walked and admonished the people to walk in the fear of God. That's the root problem in society, really. Revelation 3:18 says, one of the reasons why the Lord has to rain down His judgment from heaven is because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, the old book, the book of wisdom, Proverbs says, in chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's just a wise thing to do to walk in that plain path. You ever pray that prayer like the psalmist did? Lord, lead me in a plain path. Make my path straight before me. I don't think there's anybody in this room that wants to mess up. I don't think anybody in this room wants to become a statistic or a casualty. You wouldn't be at church on Tuesday night at 8:45 if you did, unless your mama made you come. Brother Ross. He said, I don't want to go tonight. And he called his mama and she said, you got to go tonight. You're the pastor. And here he is. Amen. I tell you, my wife respects you so much and loves you. Appreciates all that. You are such a blessing and example. The word fear here means to have respect, reverence for, to stand in awe. In other words, to stand back and you look up at those stars. I could see the psalmist as he said, you know, when I look at the moon, when I see the moon, the stars, the heaven, the sky, and it just overwhelms me. God, you are so, just fill in the blank. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He can't do. Teddy Roosevelt loved to gather his group together after dinner, and he'd take them outside and they'd all look up at the stars. He'd point out some of the constellations and some of the distant stars, and then they'd just stand there in silence for a few minutes, and he'd go, okay, I think we're small enough now.
Come on now.
He'd go back inside. By the way, he'd also call his pastor when he's going to be out of town on business. To stand in awe and in respect of the powerful, mighty, complicated, indescribably strong God that we have, we would do well to respect Him. Not only should we fear Him in respect, but we should also fear Him as a child fears his parents. Now, a lot of you know my daddy. You don't know my daddy like I know my daddy. I know my daddy in a different context in which you know my daddy. My dad's 70 years old. My dad is toward the end of his path. There's a situation came up not long ago in his church, and he called me and said, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, Dad, this is what you're going to do. It's a wonderful thing to be able to tell your dad what to do. My married son, I went over to his house the other day to have dinner, and I went into the kitchen. I opened up the refrigerator. I got the milk, and I drank straight from the gallon jug. It was a wonderful thing. But here's what I said to my dad. I said, Dad, would you hush? I'm running out of time. No, I said, Dad, just be yourself. And he's like, well, what does that mean? I said, you are the Andy Griffith of Independent Baptists. I said, just be yourself, you know? I said, don't worry about that situation. You know how it is. You know, you kind of get kind of, you know, the hair on the back of your neck kind of stands up, you know. And, you know, Dad's, sometimes his tact is a little, he just come from that generation, brother, where he says what he thinks and what he feels at the moment, you know. And as a result, he wore the path down for me. So it's been easier for me to walk in, you know.
But I said, Dad, just be yourself. You know, that's who you are. Just be yourself. He's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But I know him in a different context. You know him like that. That's how you know. He comes up here, he plays his guitar, and he sings, and you go, oh, man, what a blessing. Sing the whippoorwill song. You know, how many times I've heard the whippoorwill song? I hate every whippoorwill I see. I shoot them off that tightrope they're walking. Take out a whole telephone system. But that's how you know him. I remember him. And fearing. Not in the type of context in which the world paints fathers today, like they're some kind of hateful ogres. That's what I'm talking about. My dad never mishandled me one time, but I want to tell you something. He handled me. That's why I'm so skinny today. He wore it off of me. And I'm telling you right now, if he was to walk through that door right now and tell me to sit down and be quiet, I would think twice about it before I did it. Yeah, I'd do it. I mean, it's in me. There was that fear and respect that you didn't disobey your dad and you did what he said. And, by the way, he earned that respect. He earned that right. We got some sorry dads running around. I know that. But my dad, in my case, and maybe yours didn't, I'm sorry for you, but I'm thankful for what he did for me. And someone asked me one time, how come you didn't do what a lot of preachers' kids do by going off into deep sin? And ladies and gentlemen, let me just explain to you very carefully. All preachers' kids have hang-ups. And I don't know any preacher kids worth his salt that thinks anything of himself. Probably has more insecurities than the average person in church, okay? But I'll tell you this. One of the reasons why I didn't do some of those things that my people I worked around said, this is what they said. They said, every preacher's kid we've ever met has been the biggest partier, the wildest whatever. You're different. Why? I said, well, one word, my daddy. Yeah. I knew, this is it. Don't miss this. It wasn't that I was afraid he was going to spank me. And he would. I'd much rather get a spanking from my dad than my mom, though, man. You could, like, you know, take my mom over the top, and it was like ninja. All right, we're going to have to stop. I can't. I'm trying to get a serious point across here. But okay, all right, my dad had me scared. No. It wasn't the fear that he was going to spank me. It was the fear of disappointing him. That's the kind of fear we're talking about. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Okay? Listen. Listen. God is a big, powerful Father. And He can wail on us if He chooses to do so. And if you don't ever get wailed on every now and then the Bible says you're not saved. So you don't want to fear that. You want to fear not getting wailed on once in a while. But, you know, the Bible says He holds our breath in His hand. He could do like that and we're done. Okay? He could do that. If I was God, and you better thank God that I'm not God, I wouldn't put up with me. I'd have done that to me a long time ago. So it's not that type of fear, like I'm afraid God's going to rain down thunderbolts from heaven on me, but it's the fear of I do not want to displease or disappoint or embarrass Him. Because Satan comes in as the accuser of the brethren and says, you see that down there? That's your boy. And I can almost see the Father like, He came to the Lord and said, that's your boy Job. And the Lord said, yeah, that's right. That's my boy. And He worked him over again, and he said, that's my boy. You know, and I believe when it was all said and done, that when Job finally appeared before his Lord, the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Job had a fear and respect. He eschewed evil. He just said, he didn't want to be around it. He didn't want it coming across his
computer. He didn't want it to be Facebook to him. He didn't want to go in the places where it was readily available. He just had an eschewing or a fear of evil and a respect or a fear of disappointing his father, his Lord. There is a God. He made heaven and earth, and he made you as well, and there is a judgment day coming, and you'd be wise to fear it. That's a good reason to get saved, to avoid the wrath of an almighty God. It's also a good reason to do right as a Christian. Don't buy into this stuff. Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But he still told us, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You're still supposed to strive for it. That's not an excuse for deviant behavior. Seek out the old paths, the well-worn paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Listen, you say, well, it just looks like a lot more fun over there off of the main path. Somebody bothered me a little bit this last week, Brother Ross, when they told me concerning their church. They said, well, we're going to get through some things, and then we're going to be more mainstream. That kind of concerned me. What they're saying is, they're not going to be mainstream. They're going to get off the main path, the right path, the well-worn path, and we're going to try out this, you know, we're going to try out this section of woods over here that hasn't yet been explored. You see. Now, the answer to that question, or to that statement, is you don't want to go that way because the way of the transgressor is hard. To transgress means to step over the line, or to get out of line, or to get off the path. Stay on the highway. It's safer there. It's a proven road. And listen, you'll not only arrive there safe, but on time. This race that we're running down the path of life, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon for some of us. And you're going to get there at the time appointed by God. So relax. And take each step. You'll be better for it. I've given you four. Can I give you one more? Walk in the light, walk in the Spirit, walk in the statutes of life, walk in the fear of God. And then Proverbs 2, verse 20, walk in the way of good men. Walk in the way of good men. Find good men that are walking uprightly. But be careful, let me explain this. Don't seek to imitate the good men, but rather allow the only good man to live an incarnate life through you. Does that make any sense? And follow the God of those good men. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. In other words, the good traits of Christianity that you see in good men, that those are good things to emulate. Because you're not emulating the man, you're emulating the Savior who walks in the man. Choose your mentors carefully. Find godly men and godly women and study them. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's the principle here. We used to say this a lot, read biographies. Can I say something about that? You read the biographies and emulate those men that have ran their race and completed their race and finished well, and they're already dead. They're not going to mess up.
Right.
So read the life story of Billy Sunday. Read the life story of G.B. Vick. Read the life story of Lee Robertson. Read about those men and learn those truths. You say people say, well, you're just following a man. No, we're not following a man. We're following the man, Christ Jesus. That's who we're following. But we're picking up good points on how to follow him from good men who are walking in the good path ahead of us. I'm glad you had Brother Riker here last night, because he's an older man who has stayed faithful following the Lord and a good example. What a blessing that is. I'm not talking about putting men on a pedestal. I'm talking about choosing who influences you. Man is a creature of influence, and it's natural for us. We want to be around people that influence us. Okay, then choose good, moral, godly men and women and follow their steps and walk in the path that they walk. And if they fall off the path, that does not give you an excuse to follow them. You stay in the path, because you're supposed to look through that man to the good man, Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, tonight, I hope maybe just a little bit we've encouraged you. Young people, just keep in the way. One thing that I don't want to say this because I don't want you to get the idea that, you know, you got it going on. But the testimony of this church has been so precious. Down through the years, the testimony of this church. You folks often come to our youth conference, and I'm always it just makes me smile to see you folks come in, because I know a little bit about the history of this church. And no, we've not conserved every young person that's come through the doors, but you've got a good testimony of trying to train young people to serve the Lord and stay in church. And many of you, I've watched you for 20 some odd years and you're still in church. Thank God for that. Just keep walking that path. Just keep walking that path. Don't get off of it. Don't get impressed with something that's shiny off here to the side of the road. That's just the devil. He's just trying to get you distracted. Don't go there. Don't go there. And don't listen to the talking heads as you're going down the path. Just, you know, don't worry about all that. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Walk in the good path, in the plain path. Walk the King's Highway. It was called the King's Highway because they had to keep it clean. They had to keep it prepared because they never knew when the king was going to get his chariot and ride down it. So if there's a branch that's fallen, we did that the other day. My dad and I were driving down the road. We just came after a storm, and I said, stop the truck, Dad, real quick, because there was a branch, and I got out, because I'm a great citizen, that's why I did it, and got out and moved the branch, because people were just coming through there, you know, it might have been my son coming through there next, and he might not have seen that branch, and it might have gone his radiator, and it's going to cost me money, amen? But you know, just keep the path clear, keep it clear. You say, how do I do that? When the invitation comes, and not necessarily tonight, but when the invitation comes, just keep coming down that path. Keep coming down that path. Keep coming down that path. Keep coming down that one. Keep coming down that one. Keep coming. Keep coming. If you're here from another church tonight, keep coming down the path of the altar that leads to the altar in your church.